get excited. There's nothing in any of the bowls. I promise I won't eat in front of you as I perhaps have been known to do. Talking with my mouth full. That was fun. I might do that again sometime. Well, we've been in a series that we've been considering over a number of weeks now called Living in the Goodness of God. And what we're doing is we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, probably, quite arguably, one of the most famous, if not famous, most famous chapters in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. And the screen seems a little tighter this morning, smaller, but since you all know this off by heart, you know what the words are. So it's, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Can you guess which part we're on today? Now, I just want to say something here. When we talk about metaphors and that kind of stuff, which we've been talking about metaphors through Psalm 23, the table prepared before me today is not in the presence of my enemies. I just want to be clear. I had a little discussion about that with someone this morning. So the metaphor, the imagery only goes so far to about here. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we pray that you bless your word to our hearts and speak to our hearts and minds this morning through your word. Thank you, Lord. Well, today we're in verse 5, and in it we find a pretty simple statement I've already said in the form of a metaphor. It's a picture of God's blessing and encouragement even in the midst of our battles. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Of all the wonderful promises of God that we see in the 23rd Psalm, I think this might be one of the best. You prepare a table for me, but this just isn't any table like this simply is. In fact, just a quick little Hebrew lesson, the Hebrew word here is the word shulchan, and shulchan means the king's table. It's the word used in the Bible almost always to refer to a king's table. And so this table that David speaks of in this 23rd Psalm is special. It's a sacred table that you are invited to, that we as God's children are invited to. It's a well-planned table. It's all laid out. I mean, this imagery, this metaphor here, picture what God's doing here. He says he's going to prepare a table for us. It's the idea that he's going to spread wonderful food on it and serve us a feast. And he does all of this. It's weird. It's kind of crazy. He does it all in front of our enemies. In front of our enemies. Well, one thing we can be sure of, when God says he's catering, the dinner will not be ordinary. The word for table in this verse also carries the idea, it's been often said, of a spread. God isn't speaking of just a little plate of food in this metaphor. He's talking about a spread, a feast that we're invited to. And there's only one guest at this meal. It's you. It's you. God does this work of preparing, and we'll talk about it a little more, but he does this work of preparing, waiting, and serving for every individual who loves Jesus and follows him. Meanwhile, in this picture, as God's preparing and serving your feast, it seems maybe that your enemies are sitting on the outer fringe of the scene and watch everything going on. It's as if they see the Lord, as it were, spreading your table with food, bringing you in and blessing you, and then they watch as you fill your soul. And in this imagery, in this picture, no demon power, not the devil himself, can ever comprehend this kind of love and mercy and grace that we can receive from our Heavenly Father. I mean, what an incredible scene to picture. It's really only one that God could ever think of putting together. Enemies in shock because they were sure God was going to punish you for your failures. and they were prepared to stand over you, gloating at your destruction. Yet now they seem to be in this place of watching as you feast on food served by God himself. They're forced to observe how the Lord blesses and ministers to you. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus tells us that the Father does this all for his children. It says, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. Reading from the New Living Translation, I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. Another version puts it this way, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Now, in biblical terms, I suggest to you this morning there are two kinds of enemies. There are the demonic kind, and there are the human kind. Here in the 23rd Psalm, David's referring to the demonic enemies, spiritual enemies, the devil, principalities, and powers. And according to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 13, just if we jumped ahead a little bit, he says the enemy is the devil. Our enemy is the devil. So here we see David is referring to demonic enemies and spiritual enemies, the devil, principalities, and powers. And when David speaks of his powerful enemy in Psalm chapter 18, if you read that, he's talking about Satan and his demons who hate David because of his walk with the Lord. And it says this in that chapter, he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. But enemies, as this talks about, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies aren't just demonic enemies. When Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, he certainly isn't talking about the devil and his demons. He's talking about people in your life who have become tools used by Satan. And it was David's real flesh enemies who caused him to call out to God in Psalm 143. We read there, and he says, rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. And so earlier, as we look at sort of the original language and context and meaning, we find in Psalm 23, David's talking about demonic enemies being powerful. And here, when we look a little further down in Psalm 143, he's talking about the physical enemies. Now, if you've decided to follow Jesus, we sing about these things and sing those songs. If you've decided to follow Jesus, you're going to be an offense to some people. You're going to be an offense to some people. And you're going to be resisted by both non-believers and even some people who call themselves Christians, who aren't living up to their call to a Christ-like life. If you've decided to follow Jesus, you will be a target of the devil and his helpers. And he will attack you. And he will stir up trouble for you, even among your human enemies. Isn't that great news? And you came here this morning, you're already like down an hour. And it's about enemies and spiritual attack. Well, hang on. Some folks might not have even got here to hear this morning, so lucky you. With that good news in mind, the Lord's supernatural feast, this table prepared, becomes even more amazing because there's that imagery of both types of enemies having to sit by and watch as the Lord serves you. In that picture, on one side is the devil and his gang. On the other side are the earthly enemies. On the demonic side, the devil rages because he thought he had you. And on the human side, God heaps your enemies with shame. In fact, in Psalm 132:18, it says, I will clothe his enemies with shame. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head will be adorned. In essence, God's saying, your flesh enemies may have thought you were finished, but now they look on as I bless you. You don't have to worry about any of these enemies. They aren't able to do anything against you. Again, in Psalm 21, we read, although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed. God gives us every assurance, and when that happens, we can say, as David did, as the psalmist did, then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. We've done some of that this morning. Well, God spreads this table that he talks about preparing. He spreads this table for you, not just in your times of victory, but perhaps especially in your times of failure. There was a group of people who were called the Puritans. They often used a phrase that went like this. The phrase was surprised by sin. And I think their intention for that phrase that they often use referred to those times when you don't expect to fall into sin, but suddenly the enemy comes in like a flood and you're overwhelmed. David Wilkerson, you may recognize that name. David Wilkerson described that this way. He said, something overcomes you. Perhaps an old lust or habit you thought you dealt with, and you end up messing up and you end up sinning, and maybe you quickly ask for God's forgiveness and feel pretty bad about what happened, but then something keeps happening. You can get down on yourself and you continue to feel guilt and confusion, and you think, how could this happen again? And then when you try and connect with God, you might feel a disconnect. Maybe you even feel ashamed. And you tell yourself, Wilkerson goes on to say, he says, you tell yourself, I need some space from the Lord while I try to figure this out. I've got to make it up to him somehow. I've got to prove to him that I didn't mean to do it. And he says, this is when your accuser, the devil, makes his move. And he accuses you by saying, you're a phony. You're a hypocrite. You don't practice what you preach. And God's going to judge you. And he does everything in his power to keep us from understanding God's promises. He wants us to be convinced that we have to pay for our failure. He wants you to try and earn your way back into God's favor. But that's never what God intends for a repentant heart. It's never what he intends for a repentant heart. You see, just when you think you deserve his anger and his punishment, God calls you to a feast, to his table. And as your enemies settle back to watch you suffer, the Lord surprises them. And he surprises you by feeding you from his table. That's how God treats his repentant children. You know, even the most diligent Christian is surprised sometimes by overwhelming and unexpected situations. And it's interesting, it's odd how those situations often happen to us right after we experience some kind of win or awesome win in our life. And like Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we might want to hide from God. We think he's angry with us and that Satan has just defeated us again. In fact, we can find ourselves, I don't know if you remember this, but we can find ourselves in the conversation that the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 7. And if you know that conversation, it goes something like this. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. There's more to that, but suddenly we can think, how can I even consider helping someone else with their struggle when I'm so bad? And those are often the moments when the Lord calls us and says, hey, come on to the table. Come on to the feast. You don't need time away from me. Sit down and taste my mercy. I want you at my table in the presence of your enemies. Jesus told a great story, I think, that gives a picture of this aspect of the table, of this aspect of welcome, of fellowship, of forgiveness. He told a great story in the parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to take a few moments and read through it with you. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him out into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. It says, but no one gave him anything. We read on where it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, this is the crazy great part, right? His father said to his servants, not just go, quick. It was emergency. Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And this is the great line. So the party began. I don't know how long it was, but it was probably a great party. This runaway young man was overcome by sin. And spending all his money on his lusts, he ended up so bad that he's eating pig's food. Not even pig's food, but the stuff the pig's food came in, the pods. And he thought, I've sinned so badly I can never be accepted by my father like I was before, but maybe I can be accepted as less than I used to be to my father, a servant. And his fears and his sense of worthlessness kept him from going back to his dad. And finally, in desperation, he returns home. And what was his father's response? Wow. I mean, he'd already given him all his inheritance, right? So you got what you were getting. His father ran out to meet his son, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, and he forgives him. No questions asked. We even read that. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, not just a robe. Bring the finest robe in the house and put on, get a ring. And sandals, and kill the fat calf, because we need to celebrate, because he's back. He was lost, and now he's found. So the party began. And I think in this story, we see God's attitude toward his children. When we fail, and we come to him, he prepares a table for us. He prepares a table for us. And he tells us, don't run from me. Don't stay in the devil's pig pen, accepting his lies. I love you. I love you. Now come and see what I've prepared for you. And so the first blessing you'll find on your plate at the Lord's table, at this table that he's prepared, the first thing that you're going to find is immediate and unconditional forgiveness. That's good food, if that's what you need. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, some use unrighteousness or wickedness or sin. And once we've accepted his forgiveness, he invites us to feast on every item listed on the menu: grace and mercy and kindness and tenderheartedness and compassion and unmerited love and peace and rest and joy and happiness and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And he spreads a table before me, and I experience these things. And the enemies like fear and depression and confusion and inner turmoil and lies of Satan in my life, they lose their power over me. He prepares a table for you, even in the middle of difficulty, even in the middle of challenge and struggle. Maybe it's not that you've sinned. You just need encouragement and refreshment that only the Lord, that only the shepherd can give. Have you come to the table? Have you experienced his grace and mercy? Because you've all been invited. You've all been invited. Song of Solomon 2:4 says, he escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much he loves me. There's a little song about that. You know, it's probably one we've sung many, many times growing up, or chorus it. He invites me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Yeah, actions go with it and everything. He invites me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. You see, as a child of God, each one of you have a right to the feast. And no spiritual enemy or physical enemy can rob you of it, of what God has for you. And so let me encourage you this morning, if I may, to accept your Heavenly Father's love and forgiveness. Forgiveness, is, if that's what you need, each one of us need to continue daily to accept and to try and more understand his love. Believe God's word to you. Believe his promises for you are true, and come to the table he's prepared for you, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the table you have prepared for each one of us. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Father, maybe some of us need to come to your table this morning that you've invited us to. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to come to your table for the first time. Lord, by acknowledging sin and confessing it and asking for your forgiveness, and then, Lord, inviting you to be the boss, to be the director of their life, to be their Lord and Savior. Maybe it's the first time that they'll come to the table. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's just struggling and needs to come back to the table, needs to accept that invitation, needs to be reminded that you prepare a table for us. And that table is loaded with forgiveness and love and joy and peace and understanding and all of those things that we so desperately need in our lives. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you would encourage us to accept your invitation, whether it's first time, whether it's once again, but that we would come to your table, that we would do it often. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you prepare it. Thank you that you want to serve us at it. Lord, thank you that you bless us and minister to us. Lord, we give you praise this morning, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.